case, but this morning we're going to continue and we're going to talk to moms this morning. And the reality is, God reminded me of a passage of scripture the other day. I'm not going to go into all of it, but a passage of scripture out of 1 Samuel, and I want to begin by reading this morning. This is not just about moms, though. This is about all of us. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1, go through verse 8. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jehoiam, the son of Eluhai, the son of Tohu, the son of Zupha, an Ephraimite. There you go. If you got problems with my pronunciation, figure it on out. He had two wives anyhow, one whose name was Hannah and the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, the man went up from his hometown to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give a portion of his meat to his wife Peninnah and to all of her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival, would be the other wife, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And this went on year after year. When Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and she would not eat. And her husband did not understand what was going on. I'm just adding that. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Baby, you got me. I mean, you know." All the while, Hannah's rival is saying, "Hey, Hannah, would you mind bringing me, you mind helping me with the babies over here? I can't quite control them all. Can you help me change diapers?" Oh, maybe you don't know how to change diapers since you don't have any children. Okay, I'm adding to scripture a little bit, but you have to understand she was harassed. She was continually harassed. Peninnah had children. Hannah had none. This was an age, this was a time when one of the main purposes of a wife, and please do not read anything into this, I'm just telling you, the goal was to have more children to add to the family name. You had to keep the family going. That was part of their purpose. That's how they saw part of their purpose. I'm not going anywhere else with that. Okay, I'm probably going to move on right now. So she felt ridiculed year after year after year, because the Lord had closed her womb. The Lord had closed her womb. I can only imagine Hannah feeling the inadequacy, probably struggled with bouts of depression. Like, "Lord, what do you do? What's going on? Why is this going on in my life? I'm a woman. I'm supposed to be having babies so we could carry this on. And my rival, she's got all these kids. What are you doing to me?" And I think maybe there are some ladies here, or maybe there are some men here, maybe there are some kids here who say, "God, what are you doing in my life? Why am I here?" Have you ever struggled with just questioning God and saying, "This is not going the way I thought. What's going on?" Maybe there are some here who haven't been able to have children, who have lost a child. You're struggling to provide for your family. You're facing some kind of a problem. You're saying, how can this be? Well, I want you to understand something. The first thing I want you to understand, and I think one of the first points that comes out of this account, is that troubles in our life do not dictate whether we're good or bad. I agree that there are times we do dumb stuff and it brings dumb consequences. That happens. But there are times when we can be walking perfectly circumspect, perfectly upright. We don't have anything going on in our life, and yet garbage comes into our life. Do you believe that? Sometimes bad stuff happens regardless of whether we're good or bad. It just happens. It's just life. We live in a fallen world, And because of that fallenness, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's true, folks. There is nothing in this passage of Scripture that would indicate to us that God has closed Hannah's womb because somehow she's done something wrong. There's nothing here to say that. It's just life. The first point here is that you and I are going to face problems. But we also need to get this. We need to understand that we do not have to face them alone. How many times do we see the struggles and we just want to crawl away and we don't want anybody to know about it and we just want to go back and hide out in a room someplace so that nobody knows? And if I just disappear, if I just hide out, then nobody's ever going to know. You're not going to find help back there. Okay? There's a time for a prayer closet. But when we're hiding out, is not a time when we're going to find help. So listen to what Hannah does. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we continue on, starting in verse 9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. And in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all of his days and his life, and no razor will ever touch his head. She makes a commitment to God. She goes on. As she keeps on praying to the Lord, Eli observes her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart. Have you ever prayed with such anguish? Have you ever just been so gripped? You know there's something going on in your heart. Your heart's crying out. Your lips might be moving, but there's no words coming out. She was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So much so that Eli thought she was drunk. And he said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. What's the matter with you, woman? You're in the temple, and you're drunk. Your lips are moving. The Bible talks about prayer so deep at times with groanings that cannot be uttered. Have you ever been gripped in that way that you just hurt? Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who's deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Listen, when difficult circumstances come into our life, we have a choice. We can either get angry or we can get bitter and we can hide out and we can sit in our pain or we can cry out to the Lord. And here's the deal with Hannah. She's not just crying out to the Lord in a way that says, please pray for me that everything will get better, and saying, I know it, I got 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 it. I got it. I'm in church now. I got to look good. How's it going? Oh, great, great, great. Everything's under control. Well, I know you've been praying for a baby. Yeah. Everything's good. God's got it. That's not what she's doing. She's being real. She's pouring out her guts to God. I find it a very interesting phrase that says she pours out her soul. Folks, this is not just some kind of touchy-feely, on-the-surface thing. She's being real. She's laying it on the line, so much so that the priest thinks she's drunk. Like Hannah, we can call out to God, and we can put our trust in Him in the middle of the darkness. Even when there's no answer on the horizon. What's going to change? The Lord has closed her womb. What's going to change? You know that one of my verses that I hang on to a lot is James 1, where James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face many kinds of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything." King James says, "So that you may become perfect." There's a maturing that needs to happen in our faith. Do I believe that Hannah trusted in God? Sure I do. Do I believe that she believed in God? Sure I do. But there comes a point where she's just got to get gut level honest. Maybe you're struggling with a child. Maybe you're struggling with a spouse. Maybe you're struggling with a situation. And we've not gotten gut level honest. We've not laid our soul out there. Hannah's come to the point where she's recognized that she does not have to walk this out alone. Even the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, he talks about having this thorn in his flesh. "God, would you take this away? Would you take this?" Actually, he prayed three times. "God, would you take this thorn away? Would you get this out of my life?" We don't really know what it is. There's lots of different theories out there. But what we recognize through it all is that even if the thorn remains, we can count on God in the middle of it. This is what Jesus spoke to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Jesus says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Even in the midst of the struggle, even when we don't see it, even when we don't see change, Paul, that thorn is still there, that thorn is still there, that thorn is still there. Paul says, Jesus says to him, "Regardless of the thorn, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient." Sometimes, folks, God changes the circumstance, and sometimes he changes us. Sometimes all we can do is fall on his grace. Christ's power in our life is made perfect in our weakness. And think about that for just a second. Why is that the case? Why do we have to get so low? And I'll tell you why. It's because until we get to that point, we're going to carry our own problems. We're going to carry it ourselves. We're going to handle this. "I don't need God in this situation." You've never said it, because nobody would. But the reality is we often walk through life and walk through struggles like, "You know, I got this, God. It's okay, I got it. I can handle it. I can handle it." We don't say it because we're afraid of being struck by lightning. But the reality is, until we come face to face with some of those problems, our weakness is not exposed. We hide our weakness. "I got this. I got this. I got this. I got this." Anybody but me ever spoke those words repeatedly? "I got it. I got it. I got it. Me and Brian, we're good at it. I got it." "You got this one? There's no way you can have this one, right?" Sometimes we just got to cry out to God and say, "You know what, I don't have it. I don't have it figured out. I'm not even close to having it figured out. I can't see it figured out from Sunday to Sunday. I can't figure it out from today to tomorrow. I can't figure it out. I barely know how to breathe, God."
That's okay.
It is okay. We got to be that honest. We're afraid to be that honest. Happy Mother's Day. Moms, you carry a load. I said this one time during Mother's Day. You know, oysters form pearls around a grain of sand. Oysters then must all be female. As moms cover and protect and cover and protect, and dad like spit the sand out, get up and go. Walk it off, walk it off. Moms feel every bit of pain. My wife feels things in our kids and our grandkids that they don't even hit my radar. They don't. I'm like, there's nothing that a four-wheeler ride won't fix. Come on, let's go with Grandpa. And mom sees that that's not true. Hannah cries out to God, and she doesn't turn from God, and she doesn't run from God. She turns to God in her problem. Being a godly mom or a godly dad or a godly brother or sister, man or woman or child, means that we are willing and able to express to God in prayer what is going on in our life, even if it's absolute confusion, even if it's fear, even if it's whatever it is, that we can just pour our heart out to God. Being in a relationship with God doesn't mean that you have to put on a Sunday church face every time you go to Him in prayer. Right? I'm going to pray to God, so I got to make sure I got this all right, so I confess all the right scriptures, so when I go to Him, I get it all right. I said it over and over again. You don't go fishing and catch fillets. God catches us when we're dirty and we're stinky and we're messy, and He knows it. And He loves us so much that He's willing to bring us in and care for us and love us and clean us, even through the mess. That's what Hannah does. She turns to Him in her struggle, and she's honest. And I got to tell you, folks, there are times when you think, I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm going to go and I'm going to lay this out before somebody, and somebody else doesn't see it at all. You think, I'm going to do the church thing. I'm going to have this conversation with my pastor, and my pastor doesn't get it. Your pastor doesn't get it. You're going to tell your mom. You're going to tell you, sometimes we just got to go before the Lord. Say, God, in the midst of this, I need You. And then we find this interesting exchange in Samuel, 1 Samuel 1, starting in verse 17. Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of Him." And she said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." And then she went away and she ate something. We just read that she wasn't able to eat. All of a sudden she goes away and she eats something. And her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, she arose and she worshiped before the Lord and went back to their home at Ramoth. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Something changed when she poured out her soul. Something changed. It's just this brief exchange between her and the priest. It's just this brief exchange. So I hope God does for you whatever you're asking. That's it. That's it. That's it. He doesn't say, okay, sit in the chair, we're all going to lay hands on you. That's fine. But all He says is, may God give you what you ask for. And something stuck. Something grabbed. Something got a hold of her spirit. She laid her guts on the line. She poured it out and she said, God, this is where I'm at. And somebody said, may God give you what you've asked for. And she grabbed hold of it. And faith arose in her so much that she was able to eat, and her countenance. You ever seen somebody's countenance change? You ever seen where they've just come in and it's been so heavy and I just can't stand it? And then we hear, I got Him. Or we hear God say, I got this. We hear God say, peace. There's a change in countenance. There's life. Here's a circumstance that changed relatively soon. We don't even know when. Over the course of time, she became pregnant. But Paul's circumstance didn't change at all, right? My grace is sufficient for you. It doesn't mean that we're always going to get what we want. Sometimes God changes the circumstance. Sometimes He changes us. But the way it boils down is His grace is still sufficient for us. And that's what we need to fall on. That's what we need to grab a hold of. God in the midst of all of it. So many times I think we're like Peter. It's like we're going to be walking on water. Lord, if that's really You, tell me to come. Come on. So he steps out, he says, this is really great, I'm walking on water, this is really great. Oh, there's a wave, blah, 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 blah. How many of you know our faith is that way sometimes? It's like, God, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Blah, 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 blah. Pulls him back up, how come you quit looking at me? Where'd your faith go? I got it, I got it, I got it. Blub, 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 blub. I got it, I got it. Blub, 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 blub. Sometimes we're blubbing while we got it. Right in the middle of it, we're sinking. We go up and down and up and down. Instead of falling on his grace and saying, regardless of the circumstances around me, regardless of what I see, regardless of what I hear, regardless of what it looks like, your grace, God, is sufficient for me. I'm going to hang on to your grace. I got nothing else, God. I've got nothing else. I need your grace. I need your grace. So the third thing we see is that Hannah begins to put her trust in the provision of her God. Do you think that took a commitment? I mean, you think she just walked away and went, well, I guess I got this now. I think there's something had to change in her heart. Something had to change. God said he hears my prayers. I'm going to go with that. Moms, you might have kids that are struggling. You might have a marriage that's struggling. You might have parents that are struggling. I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, his grace is sufficient through all of that. Through all of that, his grace. Does it mean there won't be pain? Does it mean there won't be heartache? Does it mean there won't be sorrow? It doesn't mean any of that. It simply means his grace is sufficient. You see, way too often we look at this world and we think this world is the beginning and end. Man, if I just had a nicer house and a nicer car and a husband or a wife or kids that did this or did that or did the other thing, that everything would be fine. And guess what? That's not real. What's more important is eternal life. What's realer is the spirit realm. What's realer is this God who exists through his word. He exists in heaven. He exists in our hearts. This spiritual battle that's going on around us. That is what's more real than a boat or a car. Right? No? Yes? No? We believe that? His grace? I'm going to say something that might not sound very Christian right now. I'm not going to swear. But sometimes I think we want things to go right so much. And we want everything to look right. And we want everybody around us to believe that God is just so good. And that's all fine. But sometimes we deny the reality of our own hurt. And we put on this face, and it's a lie. There's a struggle. Some of the most difficult things in our life bring change and transformation that it seems can happen absolutely no other way. It's just not going to happen any other way. And we need to hang on to his grace. We need to hang on to his grace. It's his grace that will get us through. It's his grace. I could stand up here and say, you need to believe more. You need to have more faith. You need to have more of this. We just need to hang on to grace. We need to hang on to grace. How are you going to get more faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hear the word of God, that helps you out. You get a mustard seed of faith, the mustard seed can move a mountain. We're talking about the same thing. Hang on to grace. Hang on to grace. Hang on to grace. His grace is sufficient regardless of the difficulty, regardless of the struggle, regardless of the fear. Eli says, go in peace. And she did. She got a peace that went beyond her understanding, beyond comprehension. She names her son Samuel. We need to receive that peace in the middle of the storm. Sometimes it's in the course of time. God blessed her. God changed her circumstances. As we trust in Jesus, for our salvation, and we grow in our relationship with him, and we pour out our hearts sometimes in anguish, please understand that God cares, and he hears, and he begins to work. And you might not see it. You might not see it the way you thought you should see it. But his hand, the Bible says, is not short. His arm is not short. He reaches out. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's his grace. It's his peace. God's provision doesn't necessarily change our circumstances. We certainly ask for that. But in the middle of it all, we need to understand that what we really need is his grace. I'm going to tell you, you will not understand everything that goes on in your life. You're not going to comprehend, well, this is going on and I understand why, and this is going on and I understand why, and this is going on and I... Folks, there are passages of scripture I preached 20 years ago I don't want to touch now because God has revealed things to me that makes it... It's things I thought I knew all the time. And here's what I've realized. Very, 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 very few things in life will I understand while I'm in the middle of them. That's what grace is about. That's what peace which passes, it transcends our understanding. It goes beyond our understanding. How are you going to get peace in the middle of losing your child? And yet God's peace fills the room. If we keep reading through this account, we find that Hannah keeps her word. Not only does she turned to God. She cries out to God. She receives that peace. But then when she is actually given a baby, think about this, think about this, think about this, think about this. We don't get this. God, if you'll just give me a baby, I'll commit him to you. And then when the baby is done being nursed, she commits him to God. How? By taking him to the temple and giving him to the priest and saying, here, you raise my son. And you ladies think about that now. Church doors are not open to that. Just saying. Especially when they're 17. Church doors are not open for that. Hannah, who prayed and cried and poured her guts out to God, say, God, I am so lost. This is what I need. And when God answers a prayer, she honored her promise to God. Can you imagine how difficult that must have been? God, if you just bless me with a vehicle, I promise I will use it every Sunday to bring people to church. Careful. God, if you'll just give me this, I promise I will let it be yours from here until forever. Careful. God, if you save my marriage, I promise I will serve you every day of my life. Careful. Right? But she did it. That's what she did. And what we find in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 is the end result. And then Hannah prayed, and she said, my heart rejoices in the Lord, and in the Lord my horn is lifted up. My mouth boasts over my enemy, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. She cried out. She was honest. She trusted. She turned. And then she honored her own commitment in the end. She says, my life is full. There's no one like you, God. There's no one like you. I'm done looking at the waves. I'm done looking at the storm. Somebody said during this pandemic, you know, we're all in this together. Well, I'm here to tell you, we might all be in the same storm, but we're not in the same boat. Right? We have hope in Christ. We have life in Christ. We have a grace that will fall on us that we can hang on to because his grace is sufficient for us. Maybe we need to write that on our wall so that every day when we walk by it, we go, you know what, God, your grace, I'm going to work today, and your grace is sufficient for me. I'm going to be with my family, and your grace is sufficient for me. I'm praying for my kids, and your grace is sufficient. God, change the circumstance or change me, but it's your grace that's sufficient. I'm not sufficient of myself. Matter of fact, the Bible says, in me is no good thing, but in him is sufficiency. His grace is sufficient for us. Hannah praises the Lord because she knows that God has blessed her. She knows that she can trust in a God who is bigger than her circumstances, who knows the beginning from the end. We don't understand the things that we're walking through sometimes. But understand his word says that he works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. You can either hang on to that and turn to God, or you can try and walk through it yourself. But I'll guarantee you, if you walk through it yourself, that's not going to stop the problems from happening in your life. Right? Why would I trust God through all this garbage? Because the reality is the garbage is going to be there anyhow. Let's turn to the one whose grace is sufficient, who can give us a peace that supersedes all the things that are going on in our life. Amen? Barry. Verse 21 of chapter 2. My guess is you've got it and I don't have it. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 21. I actually know where this is going. Let me tell you. Last time I preached this, he said the same thing. Verse 21. No, that's 2 Samuel. Had to do with Abner. I'm sorry. Okay. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah, and she gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. See, God did exceeding abundantly above all she could ask or think, even in the midst of her confusion. This morning, what we want to do is we want to ask all the moms to stand, and we just want to pray God's blessing on you. Maybe there's a situation or a circumstance that you can't really see the end of. You're not really sure where that hope is. But we just want to pray God's blessing over you. So moms, please stand up. If you have a dad next to you or a child next to you, they could lay their hands on you. But God, right now, we just ask that you would bless moms, that we could walk in the hope of Hannah, if you will. God, that we could hear that word. They could hear that word. God, when there's some struggle that's going on, that they could just hear you. And that their countenance even could change. That there's hope. There's hope beyond the situation. Hope beyond the circumstance. What we simply need to do is to trust in you. God, I just pray a blessing over each mom here today. Touch them in a very special way. Bring your peace to each situation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Moms, before you go, there's flowers in the entryway. Please, if you have a kid should go and get a flower for their mom. That's what I think. Bye. God bless you. Have a great day. Happy Mother's Day.